quick this morning with a big smile on my face. 'Cause I dreamed last night my Jaguars clawed their way through the AFC to first place. I got every single jersey, I watch every single game. I got a shiny season ticket now, so everybody at the stadium knows my name. 'Cause I'm a Jags fan and all I wanna do is win, 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 win. I'm a Jags fan and all I wanna do is win. I'm a Jags fan and all I wanna do is win, 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 win. I'm a Jags fan and all I wanna do is win. Oh my days, I wonder if the day will come, and the day did come. Hi, my name is Andre Moultrie, and welcome to the JJC Podcast. Today, I'm not going to be too long, but I'm going to talk about a couple of things. First, I want to send a congratulations, a big congratulations, for Tony Piselli for making the Hall of Fame. Well-deserved, long overdue, and quite frankly, they picked the right time to put him in. Because I'm going to get my ticket. Immediately when he got, when they made the announcement, I called the Hall of Fame and said, how do I get my ticket? I am taking my ass to Canton to see him enshrined. I have a number of questions about the Hall of Fame process. I understand, but I watched Brian Young, and I feel like this 2022 Hall of Fame class is a group of guys that were quite underrated in their careers. I'm glad Leroy Butler made it, because I feel like he was really good. But I really like this class. This was a class where they were like, all right, the people that's on this ballot, they can wait. I kind of thought Torrey Holt and Zach Thomas would get in, but they didn't. But this class is a pretty good class. And I'm glad that, and congratulations to this class. But Tony made it. He's the first Jaguar to make it in team history. It's well-deserved. I mean, if you're a Jags fan, the top three, Tony Piselli, Jimmy Smith, Fred Taylor, it's all depending on how you want it. You'll get some MJD here and there, but I don't really hear too many go outlandish. I mean, those three are pretty much cemented at this point, unless Trevor Lawrence can change that, which he has the opportunity to. But since I'm on the Hall of Fame, we have two more players. Two more. That needs to get in. And their names is Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor. Freddie T. Freaky Fred, as they call him on his podcast, The Pivot. If you guys have not watched The Pivot, it is an excellent podcast. A very, very good podcast. But anywho, Jimmy Smith he's now on the ballot, as he should. And I'm going to start with Jimmy Smith because I feel like he's been disrespected by the NFL. This is what players have said about Jimmy Smith. Champ Bailey, and everybody know Champ Bailey is one of the top corners of all time.
I believe he got in first ballot. He said Jimmy Smith was the toughest wideout he's ever had to face. That's what Champ Bailey, first ballot Hall of Famer, had to say. Another first ballot Hall of Famer, Deion Sanders. This is what he had to say. Every defensive back that played in the 90s knows who he is. He will go down in history as one of the best. Jimmy Smith made 5 Pro Bowls. He's a 2-time All-Pro. All-time Jaguar leader in receiving yards. I don't see anybody on this staff currently that can surpass him. If DJ Chark is re-signed, maybe if he can last that long. But he's been injury prone. He's currently 25th all-time in receiving. Antonio Brown just passed him up this season. And he's 26th in receptions. But this is the problem I have. You have to judge Jimmy Smith on his era. He retired before the pass rush began. He retired before that. He had a much tougher time where cornerbacks can put their hands on people. So you have to judge him by the era that he played in. That's why Deion Sanders has stated every defensive back that played in the 90s knows who he is. That lets you know the man has the respect of his peers. And I'm glad he's on the ballot. Because it's disrespectful. And I'm going to tell you why it's disrespectful to not have Jimmy Smith not even considered to go past the first part. Because he got dropped at the first part. He should be a semifinalist. I forgot how that works. When Jimmy Smith retired, he ranked 7th in an NFL history with receptions. He's think about how the game has exploded passing wise. When Jimmy Smith retired from the NFL, he was 7th in NFL history. He's 26th now due to the passing boom. And that's the problem. That is the problem. Once the era opened up passing-wise, there's a whole lot of receivers that's waiting their turn. Hell, Torrey Holt isn't in yet. Andre Johnson. You're going to have Julio Jones. You're going to have a number of receivers. And I'm going to be so, so curious when AB is on the ballot, because he's a Hall of Famer. Like, we watched him play. He's easily a Hall of Famer. But with the foolishness that he's went through the past couple of years, keep him out. Maybe. But when Jimmy Smith retired, he was 11th in receiving yards. He's now 25th in receiving yards. 14 receivers passed him in since he's been retired. 19 receivers have passed him in receptions since he's been retired. So his numbers now don't look like they were when he retired. Only Marvin Harrison had more catches. You know Marvin Harrison, right? He's in the Hall of Fame. He's had more catches and yards than Jimmy Smith since 1996. That's all you need to know. How is he not getting more consideration? I just feel like the market is disrespecting him, but I think the respect is coming back. And I think it's the same with Fred Taylor. Because Fred Taylor, He's a player's player. Players love him. They respect him. It's the media that, quite frankly, they just don't talk about him enough. And I'm going to get to Fred Taylor. But Jimmy Smith deserves a lot more credit than he gets. And I hate that he doesn't. I'm not even talking about this because he's one of my favorite receivers. And I forgot about another guy that talked about Jimmy Smith. Chad Johnson. You know what Chad Johnson said? When I came in the league, he was one of the guys my coaches told me to watch. Everybody loves Chad Johnson. His time will come when he's on the ballot. He's another guy that should be a Hall of Famer. But he's going to have to wait because there's logjam of receivers. And it's going to get worse because, I mean, quite frankly, the passing game is just, it's exploded. And that's the sucky part about it. But you have to judge Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor on their era. And I think Jimmy Smith should get some more love next year and the previous years to come. I mean, the more years to come, he should get more recognition because he was one of the best receivers in his era. That just has been disrespected. And people that know me know I only love my three favorites: Terrell Owens, Jimmy Smith, and Anquan Boldin, who's also on this ballot and should be a Hall of Famer as well. There's too many good receivers, but Jimmy Smith should be in. He was seventh. He ranked seventh in NFL history when he retired. You have to go by what he did in his era. Period. Now, I want to get to the next guy. And quite frankly, Fred Taylor, I think he's a Hall of Famer. But the problem that Fred Taylor is going to run into, but he hasn't run into it so far, he's been gaining popularity because he's been out here more. And people like Fred Taylor. I like watching Fred Taylor's podcast a lot. They are really good, and he's really good, and you can tell he thinks about the questions to ask players to get a certain perspective. And a lot of people like it. Fred Taylor is really respected among the players, and people will mention he only has one Pro Bowl, and that is the thing. There's another guy that has been heating up, Matthew Stafford. Now, he just won the Super Bowl. He has one Pro Bowl, and people are saying he's a Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Famer. He's respected among his peers. Matthew Stafford is respected among his peers, but his accolades don't show it because of the team he played on, the market. It just doesn't show how talented he really is. Although I want to see how the Hall of Fame committee go about passing yards because the quarterbacks are passing like crazy. So I'm curious about that. But let's go back to Fred Taylor. He only made one Pro Bowl. In the year he made the Pro Bowl, he was an alternate. This is what Jim Brown had to say. Jim Brown, Hall of Fame running back, what he had to say. Those of us who had a keen eye knows Fred Taylor is one of the greatest running backs I've seen in a long time. That is what one of the best running backs to ever play the game, Jim Brown, said about Fred Taylor. I'm going to go through some years that Fred Taylor, I believe he could have made the Pro Bowl. But unfortunately, there were players that just had better seasons. And that's the bad part about it. 1998. 1,223 yards, 4.6 yards a carry, 14 touchdowns rushing, 17 total. And these were the Pro Bowlers. Terrell Davis, the 2,000-yard season, that's explanatory. Curtis Martin, Eddie George, Marshall Faulk. They all had more yards, but Curtis Martin, Eddie George, and Marshall Faulk combined for 19 rushing touchdowns. Fred Taylor had 14 by himself. Let's go to 2000. That was another year I felt he could have made the Pro Bowl. He had 1,399 yards, 4.8 yards a carry, and 12 touchdowns. Guess whom had better seasons, unfortunately? Eddie George, Corey Dillon, Edgerrin James. Let's go to 2002. Fred Taylor had 1,314 yards, 4.6 yards a carry, and 8 touchdowns. These are the running backs that made the Pro Bowl. LaDainian Tomlinson, he had a better season. Ricky Williams had a better season. Priest Holmes had a better season. And Travis Henry had a better season than Fred Taylor. These are numbers that would get you in the Pro Bowl, by the way. 2003, Fred Taylor had 1,572 yards, 4.6 yards a carry, and 6 touchdowns. Unfortunately, that was the season Jamal Lewis had a 2,000-yard season. Priest Holmes had 1,400 yards, but he had 27 touchdowns. And Clinton Portis had 1,591 yards and 14 touchdowns. Those are the guys that beat him out for the Pro Bowl. Let's go to 2004. He had 1,224 yards, 4.7 yards a carry. He had 2 touchdowns. The guys that made it before him: LaDainian Tomlinson, Edgerrin James, Curtis Martin, Corey Dillon. That's when he played with New England. He had a great year that year. Jerome Bettis had more touchdowns, but Pittsburgh's record was 15-1 that season. He got the nod. And Rudy Johnson from Cincinnati made it as a Pro Bowler. I find it sad that he had these seasons, and just so happened there were other running backs in his era in the AFC that had better seasons. Steven Davis, that played for the Carolina Panthers and the Washington Redskins, has 3 Pro Bowls. And I quite frankly think Freddie T is better than him. And Freddie T only has 1 Pro Bowl. That is going to be a climb, but he is climbing. And I hope Jimmy Smith gets his respect gets in, and Fred Taylor in the future. I hope it happens really soon. I think these two guys really, really deserve it. They played their ass off for our franchise. They deserve it. Now back to Tony. I can't tell you how excited I was to see that he made it. Every time I ask just the normal person about Tony Boselli, they always say he's the guy that got offensive linemen paid. That's the first thing they mention. And they mention that, and they mention what he did to Bruce Smith. Those are the two things they mention. But I'm happy for Tony Boselli. I will be there to celebrate. And I encourage every Jaguar fan that can, I encourage them to go to the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. Okay. I want to get to Dougie P. He got his coaching staff together. He finally got it together. I feel like this was quick. I don't know why I thought Urban Meyer took longer, but this was pretty quick. So I want to go through his staff real quick. I want to go through his staff. The guys that he hired, I'm not going to go through every single person, but I'm going to go through the ones we need to know. He hired, for the first person I'm going to go through is his offensive coordinator. Now, my problem is I hope Doug Peterson and Press Taylor work together on the offense and Dougie P takes some of his insight because I don't like the coach calling plays. I would really be curious to see Press Taylor call plays, but Dougie P is going to call the plays. So we got Press Taylor. He is going into his first season as the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars in his 10th season as an NFL coach. He spent the 2021 season as a senior offensive assistant with the Indianapolis Colts after spending 8 seasons in various roles with the Philadelphia Eagles. In his lone season with the Colts, Taylor helped the Colts become one of the 6 offensive units to boast a 1,000-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard receiver. They ranked 2nd in rushing yards per game. Now, he spent it in various roles. I want to see how this works. I'm curious to see how it works. But welcome, Press Taylor. The next guy we got is Mike Caldwell. Now, he was with Tampa Bay, and I like that we stole some Tampa Bay people. I really do. Take from them. Forget them. He's going to be in his first season with the Jaguars as a defensive coordinator. The last 3 seasons, he was an inside linebackers coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Prior to that, he was an assistant head coach and inside linebackers coach for the New York Jets and a linebackers coach for the Arizona Cardinals. And I do remember him playing in the NFL. Congratulations to Mike Caldwell. He deserves this. The work that the linebackers are pretty good for the Buccaneers. He's done a pretty good job. I'm curious because I want to see how our linebackers, because we need I believe we need a linebacker this offseason. I believe that. We're going to see what Mike Caldwell does. I hope I'm saying his name right. Heath Farwell. Farwell. In his first season with the Jaguars, of course, he brings 6 years of NFL coaching experience. He was the Bills special teams coordinator after stops with the Panthers and Seahawks. He coached Tyler Bass, who kicked a 57-yard field goal, tied for 7th longest in the NFL last year. He also worked with punter Mac Hack, who finished the season with a 42.9 gross punting average and placed 18 punts inside of the 20. Isaiah McKenzie ranked 6th in the NFL in kick return average. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. The Jags got the special teams on lock. Now, the kicker, is shaky. The kicker is shaky. We'll see how that goes. But punting? We got a punter, and we got a kick returner. We're going to be really good. So he's going to get tons of love. Now, one of my favorite names, Jim Bob Cooter. I love that name. That is such a good name. Jim Bob Cooter. I like saying it. Jim Bob Cooter. You can make a nice song out of that. I just feel like I want to hear an old person say it because it sounds like Jim Bob Cooter. Come here, Jim Bob Cooter. All right. He served as a coaching consultant with the Philadelphia Eagles. He brings 12 years of coaching experience after playing quarterback from Tennessee. I think I remember him. I remember watching him. He joined the Lions as a quarterback coach in 2014. He was promoted to offensive coordinator in week 8. During this time, Stafford ranked in the top 10 in the NFL in completion percentage. 64.9. Ugh. Passing yards, 21,069, and 128 touchdowns, and passing plays of 25 yards, 151. Oof. In 2015, the offense led the NFL in red zone efficiency. Now that, I like that. Come on, Jim Bob Cooter. Jim Bob Cooter, we need that. We need that. Oh, and I like this part right here. With 5 different players catching at least 50 passes, only the 5th team in league history to do so. I'm going to guess 50 catches for a number of guys, and I hope the tight end is one of them. Get Dan Arnold the ball. Here's another guy, Mike McCoy. Now, I haven't heard his name in a long time. I remember when he was the coach for the San Diego Chargers. This is his 20th season. Now, that's experience. And he's been around quarterbacks, which I love. He's been around a Phillip Rivers. He's been around... Who else was he around? We're going to see here. He served recently as the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals in 2018 and the Denver Broncos in 2017. Yeah, he was the Denver Broncos. That was when Peyton, I think Peyton was 2017. He been around a Peyton Manning. I'll take it. McCoy also served as the head coach of the San Diego Chargers for 4 seasons. In the 4 seasons as head coach of the Chargers, he ranked 9th in total offense, 2nd and 3rd down percentage. I do like that they got experience and they have youth. They have a nice little blend here. McCoy's group had a top 10 passing attack each season. The Chargers ranked 5th in the league in both net passing yards and passing TDs. That's good to hear. Phil Rawscheider, I hope I'm saying his name right. I don't feel like I'm saying his name right. He's the team's offensive line coach. We finally got rid of our offensive line coach. I mean, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't good, but he wasn't bad. The offensive line coach did his job. I mean, they weren't that bad. In 2021, the Vikings offensive line allowed 30 sacks, the 5th fewest in the NFL. Already, that's a good sign. That is a great sign for our running backs and for Trevor Lawrence, for that matter. What else does it say? It says he began his coaching career at UCLA as an undergrad assistant. After that, he graduated assistant for UCLA, assisting with the tight ends. That's kind of what he did. Chris Jackson. This is Chris Jackson spending the last four seasons in various roles with the Chicago Bears, most recently as the assistant wide receivers coach. So, as the wide receivers coach, he helped Darnell Mooney post his first 1,000-yard season, Allen Robinson record the first 100-catch season of his 8-year career in 2020. Hopefully, Chris Jackson can do his thing here in Jacksonville. We're going to need him. But quite honestly, the Bears didn't have a quarterback. We have a quarterback, so I'm curious how this is going to work. You know what I'm disappointed in? Why aren't any former Jags on this? I want to see some former Jags. Well, we actually do have former Jag. Richard, his last name, Agulio. Oh, I hope I'm saying it right. I don't think I'm saying it right. He played 6 years in the NFL and 2 seasons with the Jaguars. So we got a Jaguar. We got a Jaguar in the building. Yep. We got a Jaguar in the building. You know what I would love to see? I wonder if Tony Boselli would like the coach. I wonder if anybody ever asked him. They probably have. He probably like, no, I don't want to do that. Why nobody asked Jimmy Smith? I want to see some of the best players in Jaguars be on a coaching staff or something. Like, what about MJD? Why can't MJD be a running backs coach or something? Maybe they don't want to. I'm just curious. I would like to see that. I would love to see that, actually. All right. Let's get back to him. He did play for us. In 2021, he was the assistant offensive line coach and assisted in an offensive line that paved the way for the Ravens to rank 3rd in rushing, 4th in rushing of 10 yards plus, and 5th in total scrimmage yards, and 9th. And rushing TDs. Okay. We know why they rush the ball. Lamar Jackson is a cheat code. He's a literal cheat code. Bernie Parmalee. I hate the last name. This is a weird last name. Alright, Bernie Parmalee returns as the running backs coach for the 2nd season in Jacksonville. In his 15th season as an NFL coach. All right. He comes back. He helped James Robinson. That's enough said right there. That's all we need. And he played in the NFL. I didn't know that. He played in the NFL. Good for him. Who else is on this list? Andrew Brenner. He's in his first. He spent last season as Florida International University's offensive coordinator and receivers coach. He was on Doug Peterson's staff in Philly as a pass game analyst. What is I don't remember hearing about this many roles for coaches. I don't ever remember in the past hearing of a pass game analyst. I don't know what that does. I'm curious. I want to know what that does. A pass game analyst. Will Harger. Oh, I'm gonna mess this name up. Returns for his 2nd season in Jacksonville. What is he? The assistant wide receivers coach and 9th overall in the NFL. He spent the last 2 seasons with the Atlanta Falcons from offensive assistant in 2019 to game manager coordinator in 2020 prior to making the switch to running backs coach for weeks 6 through 17. And his time with the Seahawks as an assistant quarterbacks coach, Russell Wilson threw for 11,650 yards and 90 TDs. He earned the Pro Bowl honors in 2017. Led the league in passing TDs in 2017. We get Todd Washington back. Nick Williams, let me talk about Todd Washington. He's the assistant offensive line coach after spending 2 seasons as an offensive line assistant with the Jets. He has 8 years of NFL playing experience. He's played in the XFL, AFL, and UFL. The Jaguars offensive line coach by Washington allowed 32 sacks, the ninth fewest in the NFL. The Jaguars also rushed for 1,755 yards and 13 touchdowns. Then we have Nick Williams, another Eagle. Prior to joining the Eagles, he was 3 years at his alma mater. I don't know. Oh my goodness, that's a small school for sure. Humboldt State. Oh my goodness, that's small for sure, but he made it up. He was a receivers coach as well. He played there, and he's a member of their championship team. Congratulations, Nick Williams. Good to have you. Bretson Buckner. He's the defensive line coach. He was with Arizona as their line coach for the past two seasons. Raiders, Buccaneers, Cardinals, and Steelers. He's a Columbus, Georgia, and he brings 8 years and 12 years of NFL experience as a defensive lineman. I believe I remember him playing. And then we have Bob Sutton. He has a lot of years of coaching. He brings more than 40 years of coaching. That is good to have on your staff. He spent the previous two seasons as a senior defensive assistant with the Atlanta Falcons after spending six seasons as the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Prior to joining the Chiefs, Sutton spent 13 years with the Jets in various roles. I like to have experience. We have a mixture of experience and youth on the staff, and I like that. Tony Gilbert, this is his third year as inside linebackers coach. Welcome back. He's back. And he also played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, we got a Jaguar. Yeah. Bill Shuley. Shuley. I believe that's Shuley. This is his first season with the Jaguars. He's an outside linebackers coach. He spent four seasons with the Chicago Bears. I like that. And prior to that, he spent 11 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. He played semi-pro football for the Lehigh Valley Panthers and the Pittsburgh Colts. So he played football, and he worked his way up. Shout out to him. And he played with the Eagles. He spent 11 years with the Eagles. I don't think he played with the Eagles, but he spent 11 years with the Eagles. Oh, my goodness. What is this? Oh, Cody Grimm. He is the safeties coach. Now, we need another safety. Okay. We need one. I'm curious how the safety is going to play out. Grimm spent the last three seasons in Tampa Bay as the Buccaneers' defensive special teams assistant after serving as quality control defensive coach at Virginia Tech. He brings 7 years of NFL coaching experience, 3 years of NFL player experience as a safety. That's perfect. I'm going to be honest, that's perfect. We need that for our safeties. They're young. And one of them is a veteran. I mean, he did pretty well. And I clearly remember who this guy is. DeShaytown said, I remember him. This is his first season as the pass game coordinator / quarterbacks coach. He was the secondary coach for the Chicago Bears. That's pretty good. They had a pretty good secondary. Their defense is pretty good. After 13 years as a cornerback with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Indianapolis Colts. We got a Colt on the staff. Well, he was a Steeler as well. Welcome to Shea Towns. Rory Segretz. I'm messing this name up like a mug. I'm just going to start naming first names at this point. He's in his first season as assistant defensive line coach. He spent the last four seasons with the University of Louisiana serving as the assistant head coach, defensive line coach, and previous stops with the University of Arkansas, Samford, and the Philadelphia Eagles. He bringing Philly in this motherfucker. I like it. I like it. Bring what you know. Patrick, I'm not saying his last name. He's been here. He's been here. He's in his second season with the Jaguars as a defensive quality coach. I'm happy to see him back. And then we have Luke Thompson. He is joining as the assistant special teams coach. He held the same title with the Eagles. He has coached in the collegiate ranks for 20 years. He also helped Jake Elliott get a Pro Bowl nod. And Cameron Johnson produced top 10 finishes in gross and net punting average. And then we will have Elizabeth Mayers and Tyler Wolf will be assisting the coaching staff. Wolf joined in 2013. Mayers had been here since 2009. I want to congratulate all of the Jaguars' new coaching staff. And I am sorry if I messed up your last name, which means you could be really good because, I don't know, you're going to be really good, I guess. You should be really good. Dougie P got you on his coaching staff. You better be good. But that is the coaching staff. I like the coaching staff. I'm curious of where this is going to go. My only issue is Doug Peterson is going to be calling the plays. I wonder how much of an influence Press Taylor will be. And I'm curious of what Mike Caldwell is going to do with the defense. For the veteran players on this team, the veteran players on defense, I wonder how they feel about this. Because I want to say something. I feel like Miles Jack would be a better player if he had better consistency among the coaches. The same with Josh Allen. You can't change that. You know how many systems Miles Jack has had? This is his fourth one. I think it may have been more than that. I mean, he's been all over the place. He's been all over the place. At this point, you should know. The coaching staff should know how to use him. Mike Caldwell can look at the tape and see so many ways they've used him at this point. I'm curious how the defense is going to go out. And I'm curious how, with the experience of Mike McCoy, you got Press Taylor. I believe he's young. He's a young guy. And then you got Jim Bob Cooter. You got Jim Bob Cooter. I like that name so much. He has such a cool name, Jim Bob Cooter. I love that name. And I like Press Taylor's name. It's like Press Taylor. It sounds like he should be a coach. Hey, welcome Press Taylor to the staff. Hi, I'm Press Taylor. And then you got Jim Bob Cooter. I like that name. It's such a cool name. But I'm going to stop talking about the names. But I'm curious of how Jim Bob Cooter, I had to do it one more time, Mike McCoy and Press Taylor, along with Doug Peterson, how they're going to develop, because this is a huge year, a very, very huge year for Trevor Lawrence. So I'm curious how that's going to work. I'm not really worried about the other things except wide receiver, and I'm curious of how Chris Jackson is going to work with the receivers so we can see them actually catching the ball. We saw a lot of drops. But, you know, with coaching staffs, you kind of just got to wait and see. You know, it wasn't no slam. I saw Mike McCoy. I said, okay, I like the experience. Doug Peterson is a former NFL quarterback. He's got experience. Mike Caldwell, former player, got experience. I like these things. And I can't wait to see more. This is today's episode. When you get a chance, check out the website at www.JacksonvilleJaguarsCountry.com, hashtag Jags Country on social media. Also, go to Jaguars Country on Facebook if you want to purchase merch and support the podcast and the site for our beloved Jaguars. Go to www.jjcpodcast.com. You guys have a beautiful week. And if anything, and I mean if anything, if you can do this, go to where you're listening to this podcast and give us a rating. Give us a rating. That's all. If you like what you hear, give us a rating. Have a good night.